Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
This is Leona Smith DiFaustino with Cordelia Anderson, and this is regarding the Healthy Sexuality Web Conference webinars. So I have Cordelia on, and if I could, I would possibly have background music playing and Salt and Pepper. Let's talk about
that. That would be great.
That would be really exciting. I don't know if that could happen, but as you're listening to us, just imagine it starting off with that, because we like to talk about sex, and in particular, when building this web conference series over the 3 years, one of the things that was bandied about quite a bit was this idea of talking about healthy sexuality and healthy sexuality in relationships, and in particular, how healthy sexuality does have a connection with child sexual abuse prevention. And I'm just wondering if, Cordelia, if you could just give us some thoughts on why that was important when developing this web conference series.
I think early on, you will remember when we used to say this is about power and control and not about sex, and in terms of especially thinking about rape, and yet we came to realize, you know, this is about sex, certainly as well as power and control. You know, there's a lot of different issues that feed into this. We wanted to get people thinking about what we're working for, not just what we're working against, and that was important to make people less vulnerable to being victimized because they didn't have information they needed about their bodies, reasonable expectations in relationships, etc., as well as protective factors against becoming people that would behave in sexually problematic or aggressive ways towards others. And challenged also, we knew that we're trying to end sexual harm in all its forms, and we're in a very sexually toxic, often pornified culture. So we needed to be able to say, well, what is it that's healthy in sexuality and in relationships?
Every time I hear you say this, I get really excited because I'm like, yes. And in particular, in our last web conference, we were talking about the pillars of policy and prevention around child sexual abuse. And I'm going to hold on to this for quite some time. You said there's a difference between explicit content and exploitative content. And I think that that really hones in because you say something about sex. And as you said, you know, it's about power and control. And when we first started, it was like, it's not about sex. And I remember doing trainings and saying, well, no, this is about a sexual act used to harm. But people still have to cope with it was a sexual act used to harm. And as sexual beings, how do they renegotiate their sexuality and their life in that context? So I'm just hearing that, and I think that that's quite powerful. And I'm wondering, what were you hoping to achieve when you are bringing in this idea of shifting the paradigm, so to speak, for folks?
In terms of our webinars, this is a huge topic of sexuality.
Yeah.
So we had in those webinars, we got into issues around just what is normative and expected development. We try to not say normal development because, you know, who's defining what's normal for who. But with expected development, and we also looked at problematic sexual behaviors with children. And then we looked at teens and healthy teenagers, and we looked at teen development, and then we looked at why National Sexual Violence Resource Center has prioritized sexuality in April in FAM. So I think we looked at all that, but I think broader, Leona, as we've talked, is this whole issue of how core sexuality is to prevention, because we are in a society that's so confused about what's healthy versus what's harmful.
You know, having done both direct practice as a...
Effects? Are you disclosing now?
as a clinician and then doing prevention work, it's interesting to see that I would do a lot of education around prevention and talking about these things, and as I said earlier when we started, but you'd be in a room with someone and they're saying, this harm happened to me and this person used sex to do this harm to me when I was a child, but now I want to be a healthy sexual person, but I don't know how to do it because I am getting these messages that are constructing sexuality in a harmful way, or I'm still hearing what the person who harmed me used to say to me. And there's a lot of confusion in this idea, well, if I do start to like it, does that feed into what was told to me when I was introduced to sexuality in an unhealthy way? And I think in some ways it brings up this other question of what else do we want to focus on when it comes to this topic, when we're trying to unpack what it means to incorporate healthy sexuality in child sexual abuse prevention.
Well, you just named a bunch of really important things, but it made me think about just the politics of sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And who's defining what's healthy for us and not. You know, we used to really look at just the different religions and the different beliefs, the different families and the different beliefs, but now we've also got a porn industry that is our main sex educator, and what mm-hmm. who's defining what this is and who's helping shape our sexual templates in hypersexualized media in general. So I think that there's that piece of it. I think another piece of it was, how do we take back our sexuality?
Mm-hmm.
How do we take back that biggest sex organ between our ears? Not between mm-hmm. our legs, but our brains,
mm-hmm.
and how all of this affects our imaginations and what we bring back our senses into this and take back that ownership of it. But the other part that we haven't really got at with this series yet is, how do we stay, prevention involves keeping all of us who do the work healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And we know about compassion fatigue, we know about vicarious trauma, we know about burnout, we know about all of that. But the part that's hardest for people to talk about is, how does this work affect our sexuality? When we spend 8, 10, 12 hours a day focusing in on the negative, do we go home and say, hi, honey, big hug, big kiss? What energy is left over? But also, how do we keep a perspective when we spend so much time taking the negative? And what is our ethical responsibility to be able to dissect, sort through, separate, including dealing with those gray, messy spots in between where it's not clear, what we really want to have and hold on to and promote? What are our protective factors in our sexuality
mm-hmm.
versus what we need to let go of and help people be protected from?
And I think that is a really good tie-in when we're looking at child sexual abuse prevention, is that when we're having these honest conversations with even ourselves as practitioners, when we're thinking about the programs that we're creating, when we're engaging in this idea of what will it mean to really stay healthy and how is that defined, then we're looking at, well, how are we teaching that to children in ways that helps them indicate that it's a lifespan process of what healthy is, and it's developmentally appropriate of what healthy is.
And that's a good point. And sometimes I know people have trouble with the word healthy, and I think sometimes
yeah.
it's helpful. What
yeah.
helps us in our sexuality? What helps us versus maybe healthy? What helps us be the people we want to be? What
mm-hmm.
helps us be our best selves? What helps us have the kind of relationships that we want to have? What helps us develop in the ways that help us be a whole person? And just with so much focus on sex, the act
mm-hmm.
of, we
mm-hmm.
lose sense that we're all sexual beings from birth to death, whether or not we're having sex.
Yes.
Yes. And what does that mean that we're sexual human beings? That's where so many kids' questions are, and adults, is struggles with intimacy, with love,
mm-hmm.
with this
mm-hmm.
sexual being that I am, separate from the acts of sex that I might or might not have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a good tie into this idea of, if we were the sexuality czarina, and someone, you know, obviously Miss Foundation, and we are ever grateful for, because they allowed for this platform and really pushing the field to look at it, in thinking in another iteration of this web conference series, if we were going to dedicate another webinar to this idea of really pulling out what healthy and helpful sexuality means and the linkages it has to child sexual abuse prevention, where would you see this going, Cordelia?
I think one of the books that's recently influenced me, there's always another one because I'm an avid reader, but I
mm-hmm.
love, for goodness sakes, Al Verancio's book.
Mm.
And he talks about changing the way we talk about teens and sexuality, values, and health. And I think, to me, the takeaway message from that is, really, when it comes to sexuality and healthy relationships, thinking through, what kind do we ultimately want to have in our relationship? And is what we are doing now helping us get there? And what does it mean to practice? And again, I can hear people going, oh my God, you're telling kids to practice sex. No, it's like, it's how
mm-hmm.
we interact with people, how we have caring connections, and how do I help know that those are the building blocks to having the kind of meaningful, caring connection I want to have with other people? And some of those might be a long-term sexual romantic relationship, and others are other kinds of intimate connections that may not involve sex at all.
When I would do parenting classes, and I would be in a room with parents, and they were struggling with that idea of intimacy being developmentally appropriate, and they would see their child engaging in behavior and go, I know they're having sex. And I was like, well, there's a possibility they could, but there's a possibility that they're just exploring intimacy. And intimacy doesn't necessarily always have to end in sex. And so for me, I would really like to see us exploring this idea of, as adults, we put language and thought on actions that children aren't necessarily engaging in. And it puts them at risk for harm in some ways, but I always remember in the household I grew up in, we talked about sex quite a bit, and my grandmother told my mother, someone chastised my grandmother for talking to my mother about sex, and my grandmother said, if I don't tell her, someone else will tell her, and they could hurt her. And so I think that it's really getting adults to shift this idea that, no, we're not teaching them how to engage in certain sexual activity at 5 years old, but we are telling them this is the expectation of what intimacy should look like and what it should feel like that is appropriate for you as a human being developing. That's
and
kind of
having the comfort that we can understand we're human sexual beings and you've got a body and it has eyes, nose, toes, and something in between, and it's okay to talk about all of that.
Yes.
And it's
yes.
okay to ask questions, and it's okay. And what we've lost so much around sex and sexuality is that sense of our own ownership of it, our own understanding of this magical gift of our bodies, of all of our senses, and of all of the ways to have caring connections that just get way too limited in mm-hmm. how sex gets defined in our culture.
And if that speaks to folks that define themselves asexual, it doesn't mean that they no longer want intimacy. It's just
right,
that it's
they may,
not...
And then, right. They may define themselves as very romantic, but not
yes,
wanting not
and not wanting it. And so expanding those conversations out, really creating those linkages, that's where I would like to see things going. And this idea of how important it is to address sexuality within our prevention work, to keep those of us that do it healthy. What is your little piece that you would like to give to folks to think about?
Well, back in the 80s, they used to do experiential workshops on keeping us healthy when we work in this field around sexuality. And that was sort of a 70s, 80s sort of thing that you'd think in the 90s and 2000s, oh, we can't go there. I think we need to go there again. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do we connect in a mindful and reflective way to keep sexuality positive? We have to be intentional about planting the positives in each of our days and in our lives to make sure that that's protecting us from the vicarious trauma, from the compassion fatigue of hearing so much negative. We have an ethical responsibility as the people that supervise and as mentor others in our organizations to make sure that we are helping bring balance to that and bringing perspective to that, because otherwise pretty soon it starts seeming like ick. Man,
yeah.
ick, listen to all the ick that's out there. And
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of painful, hard stuff. But we have a responsibility to help keep everybody having a perspective of the other.
For me personally, hearing this is where we get to the root of really connecting it to child sexual abuse prevention work in particular, because we forget that those of us that do this work go back to our lives and we go back to our homes, and we can create barriers around what we would like to see happen. And within this web conference series, we talked about a community of practice and creating this space where what has been done in the web conference series, what is done in podcasts, moves beyond that and goes into the field and influences it in different ways. So I really dig this idea of being reflective of us as individuals.
Being able to ask questions and have these conversations and keep that dialogue going, we are continuing to learn.
Well, thank you so much, Cordelia. I'm very excited to be able to have this podcast. We look forward to other work that is going to happen in the future with Ms. Foundation's Ending Child Sexual Abuse Power and Prevention web conference series. And once again, this is Leona Smith DiFaustino from Prevent Connect and Cordelia Anderson with the Ending Child Sexual Abuse Power and Prevention Ms. Foundation web conference series.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CalCASA.org.